Well, I'm pleased to announce that there's no further delay and that the organ is complete. If you haven't looked, take a look now at the beautiful facade pipes. Really, it's not just a wonderful instrument, a wonderful work of art, I would say. So again, we want to have a deep gratitude towards our donors for giving this parish such a great gift. Sounds beautiful. But further disclaimers here. Okay. The sound stuff is not going to be moved back there along with the piano until Monday, so that's why we're not using it at the moment. And the windows have been blacked out just as a short-term solution so that nobody complains to me anymore about how bad it looks from behind. Okay, all right. So again, to head off any questions at the door, all this stuff's going to be back there. Those two pews in the back by the confessional are going to be moved over here for more seating, and also so that you can no longer hear what's being said in the confessional, which is good. And no, the windows are not going to remain black. Okay? All right. Now, homily. Our Lord uses the image of the vine and the branches. And he said something even more absolute. You know, last weekend I talked about how our Lord spoke in absolutes, right? He doesn't speak in options. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing at all. And that seems strange to us because we think, well, I can do lots of stuff without God's grace. There are people, and we admit this, of course, there are people without God that can do good works. There are atheists, there are agnostics, there are people that hate the very idea of God that do good things, do good virtuous acts. So what does our Lord mean that without him we can do nothing? Because certainly there are people without grace that still do good things. Well, the image he uses is helpful because we can compare it to our day and age. So he says, a branch that is detached from the vine can't bear any fruit on its own, and shortly thereafter it withers up, dries out. Certainly can't bear any fruit. But for a while it might look fine. Right? Branch on the ground, it still might look green or something, still might have leaves on it, but eventually it withers out. And a lot of the morality of our modern society has a Christian foundation to it because it kind of piggybacked on Christian morality. The whole idea of being selfless in some situations, of being generous, of being tolerant, of respecting everyone's freedom, those are Christian ideas. And those are Christian moral, Christian ethical ideas. But the longer they remain detached from their source, which is Christ and his grace coming through the church and the guidance of the church into truth, the more those values kind of drift off and fall away from their true purpose or become perverted. This idea of morality that we have as a society that we all kind of agree on, we refer to as secular humanism. Right? It's this kind of natural ethic, this kind of natural idea of being good, this supposedly universally accessible idea of morality where everyone recognizes that you should respect other people, that you should be tolerant of other people, etc., etc. Right? So Christian morality has been kind of boiled down to something we call secular humanism or a secular morality. And because of it, lots of people get involved in social activism. They get involved in helping others, helping the poor, advocating for causes, for greater justice in this or that area. Wonderful. And we do the same as Catholics. So what is our Lord saying when he says we can't do anything without his grace? Because there are people that are godless doing some of the same things that we're doing. But are they really? This is the thing. Cut off from God's grace, we can be naturally good. We can do naturally good things, but we can't do supernaturally good things. As an example, compare someone that goes up to someone who is poor, who needs food, who needs water, and gives them food and water because they feel compelled that as a fellow human being, this is injustice what they should be doing. That compared to someone going up to them and moved with compassion that this is a fellow son or daughter of God, motivated by the love we ought to have for someone made in the image of God, giving them food and water. Externally the same act, but with very different intentions. One of them motivated by grace in a supernatural way, One of them, albeit good, motivated by merely a natural ethic. It might seem like a subtle difference, but it's a huge difference, a very big difference. Our motivation and the source of our action is very different in those two cases. And as an example of, or as an illustration of how something that appears to be similar to a Christian morality can go astray, just trace the decay of our social moral values, right? And even in the past few decades. Right at the point where we decided to become secular, even though it wasn't a point, a kind of a gradual thing, we pretty much agreed that human respect and reverence and politeness and selflessness and generosity and humility and all of those things were just generally good things. Some of you folks just remember back, you know, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, right? Everyone, religious or not, kind of agreed on those things. You know, just the way you carry yourself, the way you speak, the way you act. Between a Christian and a non-Christian might have appeared very, very similar at that point, and of course before that point. But notice how once you detach from God and His grace, how those things easily fall away. Right? How quickly the decline or the decay of those social morals has been. How quick it's been. And just because of the relevance of it right now, you have a very widespread desire to, as I say, advocate for social causes. Fortunately, most of these don't require much of an effort or much of a sacrifice. I've mentioned this before, where a lot of social advocacy comes now via social media, via bumper sticker, right? Not through any real kind of sacrifice, right? To recognize that to advocate for this cause, I need to sacrifice something on myself. That I need to, even if it inconveniences me, to recognize the eternal worth of the other person and give of myself, right? That motivation is becoming less and less. And even now you have this social understanding that human life is worth living, that human beings are worthwhile. But a word that you increasingly hear less and less is dignity, right? You don't hear the word inherent dignity anymore. Everyone talks about independence and freedom, but you don't hear about dignity. You don't hear about people being made in the image of God. That's something that happened when we detached from the vine, which is Christ, when we detached from His grace. And where does that lead? That leads to a situation with Alfie Evans, God rest his soul, that a person begins to be seen as a number, as a drain, as a burden. Right? So even though in most cases, people nowadays, whether they're religious or not, can agree on some things, deep down, they are vastly different. Right? We would look at that situation, and we do look at that situation with utter horror. Right? This is a person, and you are sentencing him to death, basically, because of financial reasons, political reasons, whatever it is, that someone has decided that this life isn't worth living. That's the point we've reached now that we've detached from the vine. We have a semblance of morality, and everyone talks about this as if it's a wonderful new age, where we've reached the height of human enlightenment. And yet, we kill children, of course, abortion being the main example. But even in a clinical setting like that, we allow them to slowly die because we really don't believe in inherent dignity. We really don't believe anymore that anyone's made in the image of God because, as a culture, we've decided to agree, have a consensus that we won't talk about anyone in their relationship to God. We won't talk about God. And that's where we come. We might have the veneer of morality, but we don't have morality because we've detached from the vine. We might have the veneer of respect for human beings, but we don't have it, actually. We can pretend, much like a branch laying on the ground, newly severed from the vine, is still green, still has leaves. We might act like everything's okay. And that, yeah, we didn't need that religion thing. We didn't need mention God. We have this natural morality that everyone agrees on, and that's a great foundation for us all. No, that's all a farce. And with situations like with Alfie Evans and other similar situations, and I'm sure there are other situations going on at the moment that are very similar, we are confronted with the horror of what it's like to be detached from the vine. We become dried up, desiccated. worthless in a sense. Our morality is worthless because it is based on nothing more than our natural desires and inclinations, are the whim of the government, the whim of this or that person. That's what our Lord's talking about. Without Him, we can't do anything good. Even if it looks like we're doing something good. Even if it looks like, as a culture, we have this newfound understanding of human nature, we don't. We have a emptied, vacuous idea of human nature, and we really give it no respect as soon as it becomes an inconvenience to me, or an inconvenience to my community, or an inconvenience to my country, or my business, or my institution. It's been sapped of all of its, sap, right? Much like a branch cut off from the vine. That's the dangerous situation our Lord is warning His disciples of. The moment you detach yourself from my grace, you begin a decline. And it might not be obvious at first, but now, decades, centuries on from the beginning of what we call our modern era, we can see that our culture is nothing more than a dried up twig laying there, ready to burn. And that's a scary thing. And even though the analogy falls apart because you can't reattach a branch to the vine, I don't know, can you? Any horticultural people here? Can you? I don't know. I'm sure our Lord had a well thought out analogy that I'm not going to critique it. But the good thing is we can be reattached to the vine whenever we decide. We can be reattached. That the story is not over. We are not already thrown into the fire. There's still that possibility of life for us, for our culture. But it's about time that we push back against the idea that now that religion has effectively been eradicated from the public sphere, everything's good. Everything is much more in order. That people are much more loving and peaceful and tolerant. They're not. And we shouldn't accept that story as it's pushed into our faces all the time. Like, ooh, as soon as you bring religion in, things get violent. Like, really? Because I'm pretty sure if we kept our Lord in the picture, you wouldn't be suffocating a child. You wouldn't be killing surgically children by the hundreds of thousands every day. That's what happens when we lose the life of the vine. And so as we continue in Mass, and in fact in our daily prayer, we need to pray not only for our own continued conversion, right? All of us here are striving to cling to the vine, to live by that lifeblood that we receive from the vine Himself. Here at Mass, we receive His lifeblood. But we really need to pray for the conversion of our country, the conversion of the world, because we see it slowly but surely spreading and spreading, decaying and decaying. And that's the ingenious part of it all. The devil's way smarter than us. If 50 years ago you had a situation like this, where a hospital decided just to kill a child by removal of everything, people would be up in arms. But now we've heard about similar things enough that most people are like, that's sad, but, go on with my day. It's a tragedy, right? It's murder. In fact, the Italian ambassador said to the hospital, we're going to accuse and try and charge that hospital with murder of one of our citizens. That's how bad it is. But we slowly slide into it to the extent that we don't notice how bad it's getting. We don't notice that we're decaying. And that's the worst position to be in, to not know that you're in trouble, to not know that everything around you is crumbling. And of course, I know most of us here understand that, but we really need to have a more urgent feeling about it in our prayer life, to make sacrifices, to pray daily for the reattachment of humanity to the vine, which is Christ.